Following message was taped from a live radio broadcast of Talk from the Heart with Rich Buehler. An interview was with Gavin and Patty McLeod. Gavin McLeod is a star of the captain on the Love Boat.
Gavin McLeod as the captain of the Love Boat, and for me, he will always be Murray from Mary Tyler Moore. And Patty, his wife, who has not always been his wife. There was one season in her life when she was not his wife, then they got married, then there was another season when she was not his wife. And that's why they're here today, to talk about that and to talk about how that's been recorded in a new book to be of help to others. It's called Back on Course by Gavin and Patty McLeod. Welcome. It's good to have you.
Thank you
so much, Rich.
You have really revealed a lot of things in this book that a lot of celebrities don't talk about. Why did you do that?
Well, we felt the only reason to do the book was to help somebody. A lot of people out there hurting, not knowing what direction to take. Some of the same conditioning that we had as individuals, and we just felt if we could overcome it with God's help, then they could overcome it. I think people have to know that there's some answers to be had, and a lot of folks are not Christians out there, and they want to know how we have a brand new relationship and how it's possible, how we overcame what we were going through as individuals and as a couple. And it's in the book, and Marie Chapin, I think, did a wonderful job, if you know Marie.
She's neat.
Yeah, she's a neat lady.
You really do view this as more of a restoration, don't you, Patty? It really is new.
Oh, yes, yeah. Gavin isn't the same man I married, and I'm certainly not the same person. You know, you can't go through the 3 years we did alone and not come out changed.
Now, you were married first when? How long ago?
In 1970, we were together since 72.
72.
Mm-hmm.
And then you parted when?
In 81, Gavin just
and
left.
And for 3 years.
Three years, right.
He came back toward the end of 84.
You're the one who took off, Gavin?
Mm-hmm.
What prompted
like many
that?
Men take off. I think basically is I wanted to... get out and do a lot of the things I never had a chance to do, that I felt I needed to do. I wanted to be free, and I was anything but free when I thought I was free.
Mm.
I thought I was happy. I really wasn't happy. I just wanted to get away. I wanted to be alone. I had never gone through a period of my life when I was just alone. I always, after my father's death, I had to take care, I had responsibilities. And I continued on with those responsibilities from a first marriage into my first marriage with Patty. Responsibilities. And I said, I just wanted to get out. And it's categorized as a male menopause. A lot of guys go through that, and they call it different names and have
some
different motivations.
Some people just call it crazy.
It's a period of crazy, you know. There's no doubt.
Yeah, right. We can put all kinds of clinical terms to it,
right.
But it's wacko.
Yeah, right.
But you see, I wasn't walking with the Lord then. Our marriage to me was not built on the rock. It had no foundation.
We thought we were walking with the Lord.
We thought we were, but my Lord, now we know we're not. We weren't. We weren't even close.
No. By contrast
to the reality that exists today.
Now, I didn't do any mathematics when you gave me the years. How long were you married the first time?
9 years.
9 years. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time to be together. And
you see, Rich, the thing was, I think it's important to state that we both come from alcoholic backgrounds.
Mm.
And we're adult children of alcohol.
ACA.
Uh-huh. And I was used to abandonment. And so I became an abandoner.
An abandoner.
Who's the one that abandons? I became the one who abandons.
Yeah, the...
Patty, in her background, was the rescuer.
With the tide, and she was the ambulance with the red light on top.
Yes, you are.
My name is Rich Buehler. We're visiting with Gavin and Patty McLeod, and we're talking as a springboard from a new book from Rebellas. Is the book out now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
called Back on Course, appropriately titled, considering the love boat connection. Now, where was all of this in connection with what we can relate to, Gavin, in terms of your career? Like, when you left, was that during Love Boat years?
It was the Love Boat years, yeah. I don't know. We had gone, and it was a very successful show, and things were happening commercially that were very interesting. And
4 years.
So it was, was four-ins?
He was very successful.
Was it four years into it? Okay, so 4 years into the Love Boat. And so that's where that was. And, you know, I was making a lot of money, and I had everything money could afford. And
not only did you want to get out of prison, you could afford to.
I could
afford
from a financial standpoint.
And
now, Patty, what did you see happening during this time? When he left, what was going through your mind?
Well, of course, when he left, I was a total basket case. But even before that...
Did it surprise you when he left?
Oh, total shock. Total shock. So that for a while, I couldn't get out of bed, then I couldn't get out of the apartment, then I couldn't get out of the car. I mean, it was just step by step. But what I saw was a man who had been a character actor, as Gavin says, a bald, overweight man. And suddenly, well, a friend of ours said once at an opening we went to, I remember he yelled across the theater and he said, "Gavin, you're a leading man." And I think something just went click. A person, we haven't really talked about this much, but it was like, my gosh, here I am, I put the hat on, I'm this handsome officer dealing with Samantha Egger and... Juliet Mills and whoever every week, and I think he literally believed that he was that person, and I think the money here...
That's a good thesis, but I really don't think that was true. If that was true, that was the enemy working on me, because I really...
Well, I really
believed
that.
I was the captain. I never believed that I... Samantha Egger, I mean, they're nice people.
Well,
nice
I saw
actresses,
an article in TV Guide
much.
With a quote from Gavin very much to that. He said, "I've lost 40 pounds, and now I really believe that I can be that man with those women." But we're not going to have a...
See, there we're writing a new chapter of the book.
Yes,
right,
we're not going to have a family argument on the show.
No. Well, I understand both of you.
But
I can see where the conditions outside changed, but probably what you're saying, Gavin, which is typical of ACA
it.
And midlife crisis and everything else, was... You were feeling pretty pitiful inside. I mean, if it felt that great, that's what you were looking for.
Yeah.
I also feel that that kind of money is not real. And my business manager told me that men or women like Gavin who are raised in poverty feel so guilty about having it, you know, somewhere really deep inside, that they don't feel they deserve it. And they're going to do something to get rid of it.
For those, especially, I think, who've been reared in the Christian community, about every fifth day you hear a testimony about somebody who says, "I never had it, I wanted it, I got it, and then I realized it wasn't what I wanted."
Yeah, yeah.
And, it almost gets to be a cliche.
But it's true.
But it's true, isn't it?
it's so true, because you realize it's not... It doesn't mean anything.
I mean, here we are in Tinseltown, where the streets are lined with people working at hamburger stands that are just dying to get there,
mm-hmm.
and then almost
and no
universally
there.
From the people who are there.
See, without God in your life, you keep making the same mistakes over and over.
Yeah.
That is the only way out.
Yeah.
And by being obedient to his wishes, it's the only way out. And it's the best way out, because you're saved. And you know what's going to happen, where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And those principles that he teaches and that you're obedient to help you be a better person, gives you more peace. Certainly our relationship, I have never been able to have a relationship with anybody that I feel that I have with Patty now, a really committed relationship, which is based on the committed relationship with Jesus Christ. If I didn't have that relationship, this would be the same old relationship.
Okay, now, there are obviously some seasons changed while you were separated. Patty, you said neither you nor Gavin was really connected with Christ, even though you honored him. And when did that begin to change? I assume, from what I've heard, it happened with you first, Patty.
Well, it changed for me almost from the beginning. And we met a minister from Rhema the other day who said something interesting about what you all were just talking about. When you know Christ anybody else, kings, queens, it doesn't matter. You've met the greatest, and that's the truth.
That's really true. Yeah.
And so...
Who's here?
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Okay, but we'll just say a friend dropped by.
Yes, a friend, and we'll tell you later who that is.
Boone, are you kidding? You can't hide that.
I thought maybe somebody else thought she was on the other end of the country.
I want to tell you, Rich, she fits into this story.
She certainly does.
We're back together so much.
I know she does, yeah.
But anyway, from the beginning, I also... was talking to this same minister the other day. So many people think that God puts this on them. I remember in the beginning I said, God, why did you let me meet Gavin and then take him away from me? Well, we realize that God didn't take him away from me, but... So God didn't take him away from me, but I didn't know who else did. But somehow, and this minister was talking about...
Your husband's kissing another woman over here.
I know, and she's so sweet.
But it's Shirley doing that to her. Hello, Shirley. Bless you. Oh, you don't have to interrupt.
Oh, this is wonderful.
That's all right. Have a seat.
We've been thinking so much.
You're a midwife in this.
That's the truth.
It's not midwife crisis. It's midwife crisis. So.
That's right. But at any rate, so I kept blaming God for doing it or questioning him. And yet, I said, but I don't know who else to ask, so please help me get out of this. And so each day I would just ask him. And slowly I met first a woman named Edith Schaefer.
Oh, my.
Who came to my apartment.
Start off with the nuggets.
Right. To my apartment. I had no idea who this woman was. And I thought, well, just to get this intense woman out of my apartment, because she was busy, and I was busy at that time, about 8 months after Gavin had gone, she wanted me to say this sinner's prayer, and I was very upset because I didn't think that I was a sinner. I thought he was a sinner. I didn't think I was a sinner.
Yeah, you got it all wrong. The Lord sent you here for my husband.
Right, and he wasn't there, So to kind of make Edith happy, I said the sinner's prayer. And I can see how then the Lord led me, and then I met, I was taken to a prayer group in Beverly Hills, and then a woman, when we were praying, they said, do you want to pray for someone? And I said, my husband. Well, now, if I said that in my secular circles, they'd have said, he's not your husband, don't say that, da-da-da-da. So this woman, we prayed, and she asked if I wanted my husband back, and I said, yes, I did. And she said, well, I know how you can get him back. She told me about born-again marriages, which, of course, involved Shirley and Pat. And within months, I was in born-again marriages, was then in New York, came back to California, put my suitcases down, and called Shirley on a Sunday afternoon. I came right from downstairs in my lobby, put these down, called Shirley, and she came right to the phone on a Sunday afternoon and spent, you know, now that I see how busy they are, she spent at least an hour with me. And said, well, do you know who's going to come to our house tonight? And I said, well, no, you know, I have no idea. And she said, Kent Draxtel, who are the ministers of born-again marriages. And it, from that day forward, it was then only about 6 weeks till Gavin came home. And it was through prayer, not just mine, but through, I'm sure, thousands of people within that ministry and other ministries who knew about this and were praying, but it was truly a short period of time then. But from the beginning, you know how the world now says there are no mistakes, everything's right, everything's whatever is, and I was hearing all this, but I knew that Gavin leaving was a big mistake. I thought, we really did have a fun marriage, a good marriage, and I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong for me, and I could read in the papers it was wrong for him, because I just saw these kind of nutty things that were going on, you know. And there were times when I, before I met Shirley, that I was just going to give up. And then I had a prayer partner, and she would pull me up and say, now, wait a minute, where did Jesus say we're going to the other side? Then when I met Shirley, she held me up, and I started going to Shirley's house. So it was just, it was just then... It just kept rolling along until Gavin came home, said, I just want to be friends. I never want to be married again. And I looked at my wedding ring and I said, well, that's what, you know, the Lord and I have different ideas. And it was like, almost like Gavin says, oh, but I've changed my mind. I mean, he was almost like putty in the Lord's hands at that point. He really was.
We'll continue. We're visiting with Gavin and Patty McLeod and eavesdropping in the back of the room. Shirley Boone, this is Talk from the Heart.
You know what kills me?
With us on the phone right now, our good friend from Harrison Sales and Leasing with a crackly...
Thank you. Linda Rainey Wright has written...
This is Talk from the Heart. We're visiting with Gavin and Patty McLeod. They have talked very candidly about their lives, about their first marriage, about their divorce, about the intervening years, and about that which has brought them back together in the Lord Jesus Christ in a new book called Back on Course. It's from Revell, and it is available. And Shirley Boone was driving down the road. She played a large role in this, and she heard they were going to be here, so she dropped by. I'm glad you did, Shirley. You know, you were mentioning about, you know, Shirley's so busy and so forth. I know that if there's somebody who has need, and they need the Lord, it's like putting an open jar of peanut butter in the window for people who are hungry. She'll be there to minister. Yeah.
I have a mother's heart.
She really does.
She does. And I see any of God's children hurting, and I have the heart. That mother's heart is also God's heart.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus said he would put you under his wings, or he wished that Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem, I think that's the mother's heart. We sort of have that in that female being, you know.
Mm.
So I think as motherhood was an important part of my life, it has become that to the body of Christ.
Mm.
And I'm grateful because it gives me empathy that I had, you know, during raising my own kids, and now that they're gone, I still have some place to put it.
Mm-hmm. She had all those years of training. She had all those years. Where do you take the experience?
Well, all the prayer life, you know, I'm teaching and leading an intercessory prayer at church on the way, and that's a wonderful outlet for it as well, because, and I think it's because I was trained for so many years in this mother's heart, you know, with Patty and Gavin and so many others, that it calls you to your face on the floor.
So
now we're at church, we're all learning to do things that God's shown me to do.
The next remodel is of the prayer closet. Gavin, now, what was your first reaction when you found out she got religion?
Well, I'll tell you, I received a note from her daughter saying, Gav, you know, this is Steph, and I wish you could see Mom, because there's been a major change in her, and she's become born again. And I didn't know what all that meant, tell you the truth, but it was, and I didn't do anything about it until, I guess it was a couple of weeks later, and my mother needed an operation on her brain, and I woke up in the morning of that, in my big house in Beverly Hills in the bed, and praying to Jesus to give my mother more time. And if he did that, I would turn my life over to him. And I didn't realize, I guess I was born again when I did that. You know, I didn't know what I was even doing, because by now I was talking.
You were certainly taking a step of trust toward Christ, weren't you? That's
and
an important...
I said, if you give her more time, I'll turn my life over to you. And this is interesting. Sometimes I forget to say that. My mother's better today than she was 10 years ago.
Mm.
And right after I finished talking to Jesus, somebody told me to call Patty, who I hadn't spoken to in 3 years.
3 years?
I know who it is now, but I didn't know who it was then.
Oh, you mean this was somebody told your heart that?
Exactly. Yeah. And I called, and it was like 10 after 7 in the morning, and she said, hello. I said, hi, this is Gavin. And she said, I was just thinking about you. I said, no kidding. I said, can we be friends? You know, it was like that. And we made a date, and it was the following Monday, and I went in to see her, and she opened the door, and she looked so cute there. We just hugged and laughed, and she said, I'm sorry, your dinner's cold. It's been waiting for 3 years.
Oh, what a great line.
We almost called the book that. I think we were the only ones that wanted to be called that. And then she started
it's great.
To tell
it may
me
not
about...
be marketable, but it's great.
We'll do a song. And Pat and Shirley can sing it. So we talked for 18 hours. We'd fall asleep in the chair.
Oh, my.
When we got to the food, it really was cold.
Now, Patty, how long was this after you had really started standing for your marriage?
6 months.
6 months.
But I felt I was really standing from the beginning, because I tried at one point, maybe about 2 years after you left, everybody said, now you have to get your life together, and you have to start going out. So people were introducing me to some males, and I had about 6 weeks of dating, and I thought, if this is what's out there, I hope Gavin has been a little more successful than I thought. I don't want this. I don't want to go out with anyone. I have my girlfriends. I have my male friends that were Gavin's and my friends. And I don't, if I have to be single for the rest of my life, that's fine. So I did not date. And I just, I really felt after I talked to Shirley, she was the clincher. I knew after talking to her and then a few days later, Kent and Drew, I knew what I had to do. I really did. And I knew that Gavin needed to be saved. And as Kent said, you know, some people have ministry to thousands. Maybe you, Patty, only have ministry to one person because he will not go to heaven if you don't pray him in there, because who else is praying this way? Right. I mean, I found out what kind of prayer it took. As Kenneth Hagin said, not just, please heal Aunt Minnie, thank you very much, God, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking like Shirley on the face.
Yeah, on the face,
floor,
yeah.
A lot of people for a lot of time, a long
Hallelujah.
Time.
Patty, we're talking about some of the deepest human emotion. How did you feel when he called?
Well, it's interesting. I had read something in the paper a few weeks you know, it's interesting how the Lord works, because people would come to me with what I thought was gossip, and my prayer partners all said, no, this is great. This is God telling you what you need to pray about.
Mm.
So I had heard at one point that Gavin was going to buy a huge piece of property up north. Then I read in the paper where that fell through. Then I read where he had a relationship. Then I read where that, another friend said, well, I don't want to tell you, but this has fallen through. Well, when I heard that that relationship was over, I knew that the prayers had availed much and that he was on his way home. I really did, and I ran through the house screaming and praising the Lord, and it was wonderful. And so by about August, I knew that he would be home. In fact, he called me on a Monday morning. I used to know it was Monday or Tuesday, but he called me on a Monday or Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. That previous Friday, I had bought a Bible and had his name put on it.
Mm.
Now, I hadn't seen this man in 3 years.
Mm.
That's how I knew that I knew that I knew.
Yeah, you guys got mugged by the Holy Spirit as well.
Really? Really?
That's a great phrase.
But
all the evidence of that in retrospect.
But I'm here to tell people you can't do it alone. You can't do it without reading the Bible. You can't do it without having a church. You can't do it without having a pastor who believes in healing marriages, or with friends who are not going to hold you up in prayer. But I really couldn't have done it by myself.
Mm.
Because there are many times when you think that everything's over. I mean, even then when we started reconciling, there were a lot of people who didn't want us back together again. It was like, oh, is she here again? You know, we thought we had our clutches on him. And even then when I just could have said, you know, I don't need this. I just need that peace in the Lord, and that's all I want. So it takes other people to help you, and it helps if your family believes with you. But in many cases, I know people are listening to us now whose family think they're crazy or don't want this awful whatever kind of man or whoever, you know, maybe he's abused the woman and the children. They don't want him back. But you don't get him back. You get, if you continue praying, you know, you get a whole new creature in Christ. And I had a Christian therapist in New York who said, no, I've studied this booklet about born-again marriages, and I think it's wonderful, but not for you. You're older now, and I think the Lord, because he saved you at this age, he wants to use you. And so I think you are should have a born-again, spirit-filled man for your husband. Well, I do.
Yeah, I was just going to say, agreed.
And,
we already know his name.
but he thought Gavin was not it, you see. And I must say that Ken Axtell, and I'm sure Shirley will back it up, that Gavin was very obedient to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He did not... I see so many husbands coming back to people who are standing, you know, in born-again marriages for them to come home. And they'll be totally rebellious, or they'll still want to do it their way. I mean, the person coming back into the house. Gavin did not. He was totally open. He was totally teachable. And that's what makes the difference. And now we both every morning pray together, and we want to be changed. Continue that the Lord use us and change us. You have to. As Jack Hayford says, they're not the 10 suggestions, they're the 10 commandments. You know? And so, I mean, Gavin really, really did do that.
You realize,
yeah, there was a good expression on Gavin's face while you were talking.
You know, the power of forgiveness.
Mm.
That you can, you have another chance to start with the truth and the light and the mean, the true meaning of life. I mean, what can top that?
Mm.
Just and heaven can top that.
You know, if there are people out there within the sound of our voices, maybe that male ego is there, maybe in a car right now saying, well, you know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go back and say I'm sorry. I mean, that means humbling myself. That means admitting that those years were wrong and I really messed up. But see, Gavin didn't care.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt that, but I that's what I've been thinking as you've been talking, Gavin. I mean, you really had to sort of contend with being a project, you know.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll be a project for Jesus anytime.
Yeah.
You know, but I finally, the search of my life was over, and I mean, that's I've been given a gift.
Yeah.
I've been given a new me. I've been given a new Patty, and our relationship with the Lord is so strong. Nothing really matters but that, you know. People will come and go in our lives, and we'll love them, and they'll love us, and that's wonderful and so forth. But we concentrate on that relationship. See, it's so new to us that we're like children, and I looked for my father since he died. One of my little hang-ups was looking for my father since I was a little boy. And then I realized when he's been there all the time, all I had to do was reach up, and he would guide me, and he has guided us through every circumstance.
Mm.
And you know, it's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most exciting experience. You think, well, being a Christian's got to be dull, man. Come on. It is the most exciting.
No.
It's like a roller coaster. We're holding on for dear life, and he's throwing us into situations. He's rewarding us.
Yeah.
He's testing
us. Restoring. Lost money. We lost properties. We lost things. We lost friends. And we know now that we can claim those back. In the name of Jesus, those things are being restored.
Mm.
And so it's exciting.
So born again really is born again for me. And really is born again for Patty. We are born again through Christ. And I tell you, one of the greatest things that ever happened in our lives was that Sunday we went over to Ted Knight just before he died. And we led him to the Lord. He and Donnie.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I could have died the same time Ted did, and I would have been so happy. And that if there was anything else we ever did in our lives, we did that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, folks, if you're listening to this program, your tires are using a little less rubber today because it's uplifting, and we'll continue. We're visiting with Gavin McLeod and with Patty McLeod, and Shirley Boone has joined us as well.
Was it struck?
Cloud Shirley Boone's joined us. You guys were talking off the air about how exciting the wedding was. Now, you know, you guys were divorced. I mean, it was Elgano.
Oh, yes.
And,
right.
And then you got remarried where?
Quietly.
Well,
quietly.
We wanted to do it just with a pastor in the room with the two of us. But the Lord had other plans, and Beulah Ward got a hold of us, one of our major intercessors, who was an incredible lady from Orange County, and she says, the Lord's telling me you should get married at that born-again convention. She said, Beulah, there's going to be 1,000 people there.
Yeah, says,
well,
that's not a quiet ceremony.
She says, I'll tell you, I got a dress I've been saving for my daughter to get married in, but I'm going to wear it to your wedding because it's going to be next week. Well, you can't say no to Beulah because she really does speak for the Lord. I mean, I tell you, he talks to her. You say, okay.
When Beulah speaks, you listen.
That's
right.
Right.
And so...
she had to work for you.
They put a wedding together like you couldn't believe, and Shirley and Pat came up, and they sang, and they ministered.
But so many kind of little interesting things. Shirley was here in Beverly Hills buying a dress. We had to go up. We were up that next day after talking to Beulah to Santa Barbara, and I was in shorts in a store up there because Gavin needed some sneakers. And I said, oh, just while we're here, let me just look and see if there's any pretty dresses. Went in, saw a dress I loved, tried it on with sneakers, picked that out. Then Drew Axtell had hers. Every one of us got together. Sandy Brown came. We all had pastel colors. It was like we had picked them out. I don't know. It was just, everything fell into place.
And the stage was so beautiful. Wasn't the stage so beautiful?
Yeah, it was lovely.
They had a heart of flowers and had a little swing
and
for Pat Patty
sang.
And I.
Oh.
And so Patty came down with a thing and Patty looked at me and I don't
True
know,
love.
I guess Sandy Brown was speaking. Oh, no, Pat was singing True Love and Patty says, this feels like a Betty Grable movie. You just couldn't believe it. It was
all
the longest ceremony they said in
to an Esther Williams movie. I mean, I cry at weddings anyway. That one must have been
something.
Christian sinus conditions all over the room.
Right.
You know, something you said, Bill, a minute ago about Beulah praying and feeling that it was of the Lord.
This is Shirley speaking.
Yeah. One of the things that impressed me was that the freedom you were given from Kent was that she was not going to push you for marriage. Now that you were talking and restoring your relationship, it was up to you and for the Lord to tell you. And that was settled, and so the pressure was off of him, and maybe the Lord put it on him through Beulah, but you were already feeling like God was turning your heart towards getting married.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit was working in all of this, and Beulah was just sort of a confirmation, because she probably was the one that he could hear at that point to say, okay, this must be God, because my heart's turning in that direction.
That's one of the evidences, often, that the Lord's doing something, because when it's all over, it doesn't seem like it was out of left field. You see all the cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
You see the preparation. You see the heart preparation. You see other things that are confirmations of it. How has that affected you, Gavin, career-wise? I mean, well, Love Boat's over now.
Well, I'll tell you what's happened. I feel like I have a different career. I was talking to Allian Bennett, who's a press representative here, and I was telling him the reward that I have and Patty has now in being able to get out there and talk to people and knowing that their marriages are being restored because of something we've experienced that we've shared with them. This has happened in Chicago, numerous times in Chicago where we spoke. Nothing, no opening night, no closing night, no high, no low, no awards I've ever received in the show business really compares to the reward of those happenings.
Mm.
As a result, I'm losing interest. I'm really losing interest, and I've talked to Pastor Jack about this. I said, I feel like I should get out. He said it's still too soon to get out. And a lot of the nature of the material, a lot of material has been submitted to me, and I don't want to do it. If it's not going to glorify God, I just don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel there's a lot of time for Patty and I. This is the perfect time for us to get more in touch with ourselves,
yeah,
and more in touch with the Word.
Yeah.
Jack had suggested that too, because as soon as it became known that I was born again, mm-hmm, and Patty and I were together, a lot of outside forces throughout the country, Christian, wonderful people, wanted us to come and do. As a result, I mean, I want to know more. I mean, I want to make that walk as close and as important and as glued as possible. And it's only going to come through the time it's going to take to get into the Word more and more and more, and sharing that together. We pray together every day, and we read the scriptures together every day, and it's a wonderful way to start the day and go through life. It's the most intimate thing I think two people can do. But it's not enough. Right now, the fulfillment is coming in the Word. So I'm not taking any work. I represent the Princess Cruises, which I think is a job God threw right in my lap. I
sort of keeps you afloat.
Keeps me afloat, exactly, Rich. Thank
I'm sorry.
I speak for them throughout the country, and it's a very nice kind of job. And now the book, and that's all we're going to do this year until January.
That's great. Well, you're surrounded by people who give you wisdom as a well-known person who's come to the Lord. But for everybody, it's interesting. If you take a room full of people who've really met Jesus, I mean, it's been a real encounter, you find that there is always a season where just nothing else matters. I mean, it just, nothing else matters. No matter where you've met him along the pathway of your life, if it's in the ghetto or on top, nothing else matters. And I think that's a normal season. I was professionally involved in broadcasting here in town when I went through that in my life, and I didn't want to do it anymore. And I've realized, you know, Jesus said except a seed fall into the ground and die. And I think there's a death that goes on, but I don't think it's a death of burial. I don't think we take all those things and put them into a casket and leave them there. I think it's a death of planting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what comes up is different.
Yeah.
It's the same and yet it's different. It's
the incorruptible seed.
Yeah.
Instead of that corruptible seed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hallelujah. You know what? We have talked nearly an hour. I don't know how much time you guys have got, but we've got some folks who'd like to talk with Gavin and Patty, and I'm sure Shirley too. Let's do that. You can reach us toll free, 800-227-KBRT.
The good news.
Hi, my name is Judy from San Diego.
Hi, Judy.
And first of all, I just praise God that Ted Knight found the Lord. I just about broke into tears when I heard that.
Oh, that's just...
My question is, I've heard of Kent and Drew Axel and their ministry, but is there anything available in San Diego area?
Well,
sure, there is.
Now, I'm going to, while we continue this conversation, I'm going to reach for my purse here and get a number for you to call in Omaha. Or in Council Bluffs, actually, Iowa, they will give you all that information. But there are, yes, there are many groups down in your counties.
Okay.
So you go on, if you can hold, wait one second here. I'm getting it, I'm reaching it, I'm getting it. Should have had this out before. All right, born-again marriages. The phone number is area code 712-323-3333. If you'd rather write, it's Post Office Box 8.
Box what?
8. Just number 8, like 7-8.
Okay, Box 8.
Box 8. Council Bluffs, that's C-O-U-N-C-I-L, Bluffs, B-L-U-F-F-S, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
51501. You can mention that you heard Gavin and I and Shirley talking, and... They'll just tell them you need some information about your area, but I know there are groups down that way.
Okay. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you for your call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Sherry from Covina.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on what Gavin said about being with Ted Knight when he died. And, you know, us out here in TV land, we can sometimes get really attached to people that we see, the characters and that, and they become real special to us. And I just want you to know, it just thrills my heart to know that he knew the Lord when he died. I mean, that's just the most wonderful thing. It just, brings tears to my eyes because he was such a special person. And oftentimes when celebrities die like that and they're real special to me in some way, I always wonder, you know, are they with the Lord or was someone with them at the end? And
Yes,
the interesting thing is Ted and I, he was my oldest friend in California. We met in 1957 when I first came here. And we had known each other through the years and many different projects. And I'd see his singular ones, he'd see mine. And to think we'd finally wind up in a series together. And then the culmination was to be God's messenger in helping him be saved was the most meaningful thing I've ever done in my life.
It's through the prayers of Christians all over. We found when Gavin left, when he came back, people still stop us in the market and say, I've been praying for you for years.
Yeah.
Kenneth
well,
and Gloria Copeland were in an elevator with Gavin in Australia when we were over there just before he left, before Gavin left me. And years later when we met them, the Copelands, one night of big thrill with Shirley and Pat, and the first thing Kenneth said to me, he said, Gloria was in an elevator with Gavin and came up to the room and said, Kenneth, we have to pray for them.
Wow.
Now, see, so...
I think that's something that a lot of people need to do.
The two callers, for instance, that were attached to Ted, you know, just to let you know, your prayers are important and probably opened the door for Gavin to be there at that moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And don't think you're not part of this.
That's all
part of it. That's what the body of Christ is about, and every part of the body is important.
Yes.
So when you have certain people that you're drawn to, you don't know but what the Holy Spirit has drawn you to that person. So intercede for them because there's somebody out there. And God, it's not God's will for anyone to perish. He's going to get someone through that door if he just has those of us out there being obedient.
I heard quite a while ago about that someone was with John Wayne, that John Wayne accepted the Lord before he
died.
And that was just...
Well, you know what? Shirley was just telling us that these stories are all over the place of well-known people.
I wish I could
hear them all. I mean, pardon me?
I wish I could hear them all.
Yeah, well, you know, they have to be talked about within the context of validation, but that there's a lot of opportunity. A lot of Christians are having the opportunity. God's placed them with people, even on their deathbeds.
Mm-hmm.
And we really believe God honors that. Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This is Talk from the High.
Gavin, were you at one time affiliated with the Unitarian or Universal Church?
No, I was with the Science of Mind Church.
Science of Mind.
Yeah.
How did you break away from that?
I met Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's called a change of citizenship.
It was a whole different...
Gavin was going to church on the way with me there in the beginning, and also was involved in Science of Mind, and the prayer, you see, you can't stop praying when the miracle starts to happen. You have to pray even harder, because he was over a precipice and had one foot in one church and one in another, but it was amazing how the Lord just performed another miracle and got him out of that. He resigned from the board for a financial reason, but we know the reason was Jesus using that, so...
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
You're so rich.
Thank you for calling. Hi, you're on the air with Gavin and Patty McLeod.
This is Bob from Mission Viejo.
Hi, Bob.
I want to say a big aloha to Gavin.
Aloha.
Oh,
aloha.
This is Bob Turnbull. Oh, hi, Bob Turnbull.
Hi, Gavin. Bless you. I remember the times over in Honolulu a long time ago.
You bet. Big chicken days. Hawaii 5-0.
I am very thankful to know that... to know more of the details of you and Patty and what has happened in your life. My wife and I just came back from speaking at a seminary class to some divinity students here, and we just drove in, and I want to go to the phone to say that the details of how God has touched your life in such a personal way, and what you two are doing in relationship to encouraging other marriages, really touched us both, because that's what we do, too, in our marriage seminars. And it's, you can't have enough of them, of people who love Jesus trying to be something positive in other lives that are hurting all over the nation.
Right.
What you're doing is so super.
Thanks, Bob. I remember you vividly.
Well, I appreciate it. A lot of listeners want to get in. I just want to call and say hi.
God
and give Shirley a big hug in the background.
All right.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
You've got an electronic hug coming back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye.
It's just one big happy fraternity, isn't it? Gavin and Patty, the hour has gone by much too quickly. I want to encourage folks to get the book. It really talks about this in detail. And Back on Course is more than just a clever title for a book. It's a description of what the Lord's done in your lives. And we're thrilled for you. We really are. And it's not often I don't have words, but I feel like the little boy who fell down and broke his bicycle. I'm spokeless. Well, when you make a publicist groan, you know you've really done it. Shirley, thank you for dropping by, too.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah,
I love the show, and I love Patty and Gavin, so what could have kept me away?
Well, thank
you. It really
feels
like being at home right here.
That's right.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Your brothers and sisters.
Look at that smile, that face, that beam.
Hallelujah. Well,
Hallelujah.
God bless you, and we will talk again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins, and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. please make my life acceptable unto you. And thank you, Lord, for your gift of eternal life. And I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God. And in His eyes, you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often. And seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. And we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.